each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, excuse me.
A frog.
It's a frog. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Good to be here, Tony.
Good to be here also.
It seems like it's a Monday, but it's...
It does feel like a Monday.
You know, I hope everybody had a blessed Memorial Day to remember and honor those who fought in defense of our nation, its freedoms, that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And our hope and prayer is that we can regain that sense of who we are collectively as a people, diverse but united, and you know, proud to be Americans at a time when there's those powers and principalities out there that
exactly.
are trying to divide and destroy, in a sense, really. So, but anyway, we can only begin with ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Often people feel a little bit helpless. I hear this all the time now, you know, because who do you trust? Well, we trust God. We trust God, but, you know, as we know, God does his part, we have to do our part.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not nurturing or cultivating right relationship with God, then we add to the disorder rather than contribute to the proper ordering of society. So anyway, we're going to begin with the prayer. Sunday was a feast of the Holy Trinity. This coming Sunday is a feast of Corpus Christi. And yesterday was a feast of the Visitation. Mm-hmm. Today is a feast of St. Justin. So there's a lot we can cover here. I find the little writing on the martyrdom of St. Justin quite fascinating, so we'll probably share that. And I'll talk a little bit about the feast of the Holy Trinity as well, okay? Did I say welcome, Tony?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I did, okay. You can tell where I'm at. All right, everybody, let's begin with it. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of Justice,
pray for us.
Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our Joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual Vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of Honor,
pray for us.
Singular Vessel of Devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical Rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of Ivory,
pray for us.
House of Gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the Sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of Sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the Afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of Angels,
pray for us.
Queen of Patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of Prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of Apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of Martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of Confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of Virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed by with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting now in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All right. How are you doing, Tony? How was your weekend and Memorial Day?
It was nice.
Good. Did you celebrate yesterday? I mean, observe the Memorial Day?
In mind, I was at home doing all the things that I couldn't do when I'm at work, so
yeah.
It was a full day.
Yeah, same.
But
here.
Yeah, I didn't have time to really sit and
didn't
go anywhere. Just didn't. Things at home.
Yeah, well, it's a day to do that, I guess,
it's
right?
It's a day to do that. And I always procrastinate and save it for the ends.
Sure, yeah. That was, it was a nice Mass yesterday. We did, we celebrated the Mass of the Visitation of Our Lady. It's 13 years since we opened our doors for adoration and consecrated
time goes by
the
fast.
Iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, the Ark of Mercy, mm-hmm. 13 years ago, Cardinal George. Oh. It was broadcast all over the United States through EWTN, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
But 13 years, how time flies, really.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Let's talk a little bit about we just had the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. I want to share a little bit on that. And then, let's see here. And then, as I said, today is a feast of St. Justin, the martyr. And yesterday was a visitation. We can go in either of these directions, but I'd like to just review the Holy Trinity, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, because I put this in the context of this whole past year, you know, with the pandemic and the virus and the lockdowns and all this. And, you know, St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians encourages the Christians to greet one another with a holy kiss. And this past year, we've been discouraged from such a greeting, you know, no kiss, no handshake, mm-hmm. you know, keep a distance one from another, wear a mask, barriers are erected to keep us apart. All these measures are taken to keep us healthy and to prevent the spread of the virus, but they're contrary to our nature as social human beings. We adhere to the measures enacted because a fear of the virus ignites within us that survival instinct. And it's not only concern for our personal survival, but that of others as well. I'm saying this even as we're looking back over the year, because it seems like we hope that things are going to really, really open up. I don't know, in Chicago, are the restaurants back to normal? Or
I think it's not full normalcy, but there's more allowed in than before. I think it was like a certain percentage, and now it's a little bit more.
With the mask, without the mask? Or
it's still with the mask.
Still with the mask.
Which I don't understand. That's why I'm sitting here really fumbling to try to figure it out, because I don't pay attention anymore.
Yeah, you're true.
It's incredible how things change. And I know there is a date in Chicago where it's going to be open fully, which I still don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
But again, you know, even the place we go to on Sundays is there's more people. And, you know, I guess they just, the mask is still a mask. You have them on to get in, and then when you eat, you can have them off.
Yeah.
Which still kind of boggles my senses, but whatever.
Yeah, and senses, I mean, it's just a matter of using common sense.
But. And it is, it's just interesting too, Father, as you're talking, I'm trying not to put any, I fear that this year, and even continuing on, there's going to be I don't think masking up like this and doing this for a whole year and then on is not going to have, there's going to be ramifications to this. It's just people are just angry all the time. People, you know, look at each other as, oh, you dare to hurt me. I think they're going to find out.
It's going to continue, you think?
Well, not so much continue, but I think there is damage.
It's done,
been done for this.
Yeah, many are saying that.
You know, and I'm hearing it. You know, you hear the stories how it's weird. I was just listening today about all these incidents on the airplanes. You know, how people, you know, are angry and they don't want to, you know, have the mask and fights breaking out.
Flight attendant had
I heard that. That's ridiculous. And then I thought about it. And honestly, as I was thinking this, and I think somebody actually said that, you know, on the show that I was listening to, it's like, I think it's now people tend to they know they can get whatever they want through anger or you know, brutality. You know, if you let this go for so long, I mean, I think of the riots and things. Oh, just let it go. Now people are thinking, this is the way I can get things, by being brutal, hitting somebody, and nobody's going to do anything.
Yeah, speaking of the planes, I saw this the other day, too, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but the incidences of issues or criminal activity on planes has skyrocketed from 100 and some to over nearly 2,000 or something like that.
Which I can see. I can see this. And again, I hate to say this. I'm not saying this because I want to say, oh, these people are bad. I just think we're going to find out, hopefully soon,
especially for the people that, oh, follow the science, follow the science. When we're going to see that, you know, the psychological things that happen by, you know, forcing somebody to put a mask on and then changing that every, not being clear.
I think the contradictions have created a justified sense of distrust on the
and
part of
anger.
People. And anger, yeah. Well, let's continue because it's kind of it ties into this the mystery of the Holy Trinity, because you know as we look back over this past year, we adhere to the measures enacted because there is this fear of the virus, which ignites within us the survival instinct. Some people more so than others, right? You know, it's how people view it in different from different perspectives, and depends on who you're listening to. And it's not only a concern for one's personal survival, but that of others as well. So people will wear the mask, you know, out of respect for others, right? But nonetheless, we naturally recoil at the thought of the isolation that has been so often associated with a pandemic. And rightfully so. We're not meant to be alone, and there are people who still are alone. And I still see people driving alone in their cars with a mask on. So you know, there's this hidden kind ofness. So, you know, you're alone, you're isolated, your face is covered. But as the church celebrated the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, we were reminded, as we are every year, that we are social beings, because God, who set life into motion, is a social being, and God is a communion of three persons, distinct but one. We are monotheistic, meaning we believe in one God, not three gods or a multiplicity of gods, and this communion of three persons in one God is a glue that holds all creation and all humanity together. So perhaps during this past year, when people often felt vulnerable and lacking control, God, if we're disposed, as he does in crisis, will seize the opportunity to bestow grace and fill the void left in the absence of others. Because true to his nature, he shows himself as the calm in the storm, or the balm of Gilead, as the scripture says, a soothing anointment to alleviate the pain if we allow ourselves this grace. We have to be disposed and allow ourselves this grace. But in a time like this, you reach out to, for those who may be estranged from God or don't give a second thought to God, but just the uncertainty of the age in which we live, the natural fears, the anxieties, the confusion, who do you trust, you know, having dealt with all the contradictions and, you know, what is science, what is not, what's scientific, what's not scientific, I mean, everything is just kind of upside down. But God in his supreme wisdom uses a crisis to restore in us holy communion with the Creator, the Father, with the Redeemer, the Son, with the Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because without God, there is no survival. And the rejection of God, if we reject God, eventually this ends in self-imposed condemnation. And so the point is that in adversity and strife, we should naturally return to the source of life. You know, we come from God, we go to God, we reach for God who we may have forgotten or from whom we've kept ourselves socially distant, right? He comes to us. He comes to us as he came to Moses, proclaiming his name Lord and identifying himself as merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and rich in kindness and fidelity. And as a people, we would do well during this time, hopefully during the past year, or even as we move forward, because we don't know, as you said, you know, what are the ramifications? Mm-hmm. What psychological damage has been done, aside from, you know, health, the harm to one's health, I was reading the other day of some of the, was actually reflecting on this sister who died, and she had the virus, and then she died later of secondary effect of the virus. So it's a reality, no doubt. And but in this this time of uncertainty and confusion and anxiety, could we humble ourselves and imitating Moses and bow down to the ground and worship and humbly ask the Lord to find favor? He asked the Lord to find favor in me and to come along in the company of God's people who were stiff-necked and in need of pardon from their wickedness and sins. Moses asked God, receive them as your own. So we'd be hard-pressed to deny that we are stiff-necked and in need of pardon from our wickedness and sins. Every day we follow the news and we're disheartened by the immorality, or we should be, by the violence, by the bigotries, by the hatreds, this stoking of racism, selfishness, greed that disrupt our communion as members of the human race. I mean, even the killings mass killings we've been, they seem to be happening on a regular basis. And I saw a video clip of the three guys at in Miami who, and evidently it was a rival gang. There was a rapper and there was a party going on or something. Mm-hmm. I forgot how many people. I think 18 to 20 people were shot. I don't know how many died. Two or three. Did you hear about
that?
No,
I don't remember.
Just the other day in Miami. It's
probably.
You know?
I've been trying to stay away from.
So they're trying to find these guys. I mean, they've got them coming out of the car. they went in quickly and they just shot all these people, got back in the car, and they took off. You know, but this is happening on a more regular basis. It seems to me. So your thought that the anger that is out there.
And I really say it. And again, you think about even Memorial Day, how many died. And I think of what they're doing with police. It this is not right. I mean, there's something that is very off here.
Completely.
Very, very off. And then you figure how people, it's going to become, it's almost like, you think about the Wild West. People are just going to, if they don't fear the law, if you've...
Sure.
I
was thinking about that just the other day. Well, one of our teachers who came from Texas, mm-hmm. Texas, when you think of Texas, you think of the Wild West.
Yeah.
And when she came to Chicago, she said, this is like the Wild West. It's just everything is... Just
the thing that's interesting, and I do talk to many people that are not they're from outside of the United States, different countries, and they say it. I've seen this. We've seen this before.
Right.
This is dangerous where this is going. And again,
are we naive to what's happening? I had a conversation with somebody after Mass yesterday mm-hmm. from another country who said the same thing,
yep.
that we've been through this. We know where this is leading,
mm-hmm.
and this is very frightening. Listen, we'll take a break. We'll come back and try to follow me on this. But how all this ties into the mystery of the Holy Trinity, a communion, the union of three persons, three distinct persons in God, one God. We're monotheistic, but this communion, because communion has been disrupted. Is being disrupted unless we are really grounded in God, a Trinitarian God, a social being who created social beings. We need each other. We're the mystical body of Christ. If we're not nurturing this relationship with God, then, as I say, we subject ourselves to a self-condemnation. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture.
Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're discussing the Holy Trinity, but in relation to society and what's going on in the society, in our society. But I said we'd be hard pressed to deny that we are stiff-necked. It's a biblical term about these are the people of the covenant who were always kind of in rebellion, always backtracking or backsliding or deviating from the dictates of the covenant, right? The mm-hmm. the commandments of God and relationship with God, right relationship. And Moses, pleads on behalf of them. He intercedes on behalf of them to God that, wake us up, bring us back. We are yours. Receive us as your own. And, the hope is that, when we're suffering adversity, conflict, when things are upside down and people kind of intuitively know that, gosh, something is really, really not right, and that it's a moment of grace because it's an opportunity to return to the source of life, which is God. And as I said, we were talking every day. We follow the news, and we're disheartened by the immorality, the violence, and the bigotry, and the hatreds, and the stoking of racism. I mean, a very conscious stoking of racism, consciously dividing us as a people, selfishness, greed, which disrupt our communion as members of the human race. In a paradoxical way, the social distancing invoked by the virus could have, if we allow it, the benefit of bringing us back to the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so it seems to me as we look around, we recognize a need for salvation. We need a Savior. We need a Messiah. Well, the Messiah has come. We've got to turn our gaze to Almighty God, the Holy Spirit emanating from the Father and the Son can restore to our lives and to the life of our society civility, because civility is what defines the triune God. And so to refuse God or to have an indifference toward God, and that's what it seems to me more than anything, just kind of this indifference, further deteriorates the civility of our society and brings us to the abyss of savagery, man's inhumanity to man, or, if you want, woman's inhumanity to woman, or man's inhumanity to woman, or woman's inhumanity to man, whatever, you know, as these days. And it can only be man or woman, right? One or the other.
Yeah, just thinking as you were doing that, you have to include all those different...
The dysphorias out there, the sicknesses, the disorientation, mm-hmm. disordered lives of the people, you know, rather than humbly acknowledge disorder, dysphoria, sickness, you know, we want to elevate all this to a place of normality, and it's creating more abnormality in the society. And so this is this whole diabolical disorientation where things are upside down for sure. But, you know, from the downward spiral into the abyss of human degradation, do we have the humility to reach our hand into the hand of God and be pulled out of isolation, away from loneliness, anger, and fear, to be restored to right relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves? You know, it was thinking how ironic that Christians are called to greet each other with a holy kiss, and yet, you know, this whole past year we've been called to keep a certain distance one from another. Again, God seizes the opportunity to place himself in this space which is proper to himself. In other words, there's a what we call the inner sanctum of the soul, or when Jesus says, go to your inner, open the door and go into your inner chamber and there commune with God your Father. And we do it in and through Jesus by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the triune God. We're so afraid to go into that inner chamber, into that inner sanctum, because it is a lonely place. There's an emptiness there. Nobody can fill it, you know, the people who we love the most, the things we love the most, you know. In other words, we spend our life trying to fill this, to fill the emptiness within us. And in the best of marriages, in the best of families, in the best of friends, the things of this world will never fully satisfy. You know, the people we love, they come close, right? They can come close. But they can never, there's that special place within us that is meant for God. And that's why St. Augustine said that I will not rest until I rest in God. There's always a certain unrest. If we can reconcile with that unrest and enter into that unrest, into that lonely place, and nurture, cultivate life with God, intimacy with God, then that loneliness turns to solitude. The unrest becomes restful. But a rest that will be disturbed because we're in the exile, we're not yet home. And so we know that in order to, again, God is the balm of Gilead, a soothing anointment. He's the calm in the storm. But we have to go to him as Peter went to Jesus when there was that storm on the sea, and the disciples, the apostles, were in the boat, and they were thoroughly frightened. And you know, it's dark, the dark of night, that time of night or morning when things are so dark, you know, you can't see anything, and you're in this storm. And then all of a sudden, they do see Jesus walking toward them. They think he's a ghost, so they're doubly frightened. And he says, it is I, you know, be at peace, it's I, it's me. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and I will come. And Jesus says, it is I, come. Peter got out of the boat, he's walking on the water, and he was doing fine until he turned away when he realized that he's walking on water and he's feeling the weight of the wind. He turns and he begins to sink, and he says, Lord, save me. And he says, oh, you man of little faith, you know, keep your eyes on me. And that's what we got to do. And we go into that inner sanctum, into the inner chamber, into the sanctuary of the soul, into our deepest self, where we have our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our, you know, all the stuff of life and that loneliness, and, you know, learn to commune with God And in that, you know, as I say, the loneliness turns to solitude, and that restlessness becomes rest. And that's why, you know, then people know to whom to go, right? Mm-hmm. To whom to go. And it's because we're in this constant battle, in a constant storm to varying degrees. But right now it seems the storm is rather, it's a building storm on the horizon, but we're already kind of in it. But it seems like, as you said, and I think it's so true, I hear from so many people, and I don't think it's really that they're being pessimistic. I think people are being realistic when they say it's not, you know, is the glass half full or half empty. It's that, you know, we know that if we don't convert, that's why Jesus says, preach repentance of sin, conversion of life, be converted to God. That's the bottom line, be converted to God. God is a source of life. And if we don't do it, then we further deteriorate. We impose upon ourselves a self-condemnation. And this is what we see happening more and more, especially as I say, you read the news or you hear the news, or you just look around, you know, what's going on. I have the happy burden, I should say, it's a happy burden. But listening to people, and yeah, that's why I can't be Pollyannish about this, because I hear people, I listen to what's going on in their families and their what's happening with their children, what's happening in marriages, and you know, it's not good news. People, we're very much affected by the world we live in, the society we live in. And when you've got these, again, I can't repeat enough, you know, the enemies of the soul, the world that is not under the dominion of God, the free reign of the flesh. St. Paul says, you give free reign to the flesh of its very nature will lust against the spirit and just create all kinds of disorders. And then, of course, the devil, who is, can I repeat this? I repeat it over and over. He is a seducer. He is a deceiver. He creates an illusion, and he is the accuser. And he's very much alive and active in this era in which we live, when we foolishly, I said at Mass, didn't I, stupidly, I don't like to use that word, but it's because we're made by God for God. So it's a natural thing to have relationship with God. But we go away from God, you know, yes, it will bring us to the abyss of savagery, man's inhumanity to man, you know, but the irony that Christians are called to greet each other with a holy kiss, and yet today we've been called to keep us a distance, one from another. And so God, he seizes the opportunity to place himself in this space, this inner sanctum. In other words, it forces us to acknowledge the inner sanctum. If we're not, we have to stop trying to fill that space with other things, other people, but nurture relationship with God, because that space is proper to himself. I suggested on Sunday, and I thought of something yesterday, I kept thinking about this yesterday, but is perhaps our greeting one to another has been anything but holy. And is it that we could one day see a return to the traditional salutation? Because it was part of the tradition in all the cultures of the church, and certainly in Europe and Latin America, in the United States. But this is going back a long time, but people would greet each other, praise be Jesus Christ, and the response would be now and forever, amen, or just now and forever. And, you know, physical health is a very great good. People say, if you have your health, you have everything. Well, do you really? Physical health is a very great good, but spiritual health and the salvation of a soul is even better. It's even better. And so to this end, we must mend our ways, encourage one another, and live in the peace of the Holy Trinity. You know, I think about this yesterday, about the salutation. You know, how many of you you know, when you go shopping or you meet people on the way here and there and everywhere, and you know, you have a little discussion or whatever, and you when you depart and you say goodbye, how many people say, you know, God bless you? And why do we not? Why do we not? For me, it kind of comes natural because I'm a priest, and so I'm always asking, you know, God to bless people. It seems to be, it just kind of rolls like butter off my tongue, you know. Is that what they say? Butter off your tongue, like whatever.
I'm hearing it for the first time.
Yeah, okay. I've heard that somewhere before, but.
It tells it well. I think that's what it is.
But I think people feel still intimidated, you know, that people are, you know, we're going to offend somebody, or people are going to think I'm too
religious. It's interesting because that's now where it goes, even with other things. You don't want to be able to speak because then you get labeled whatever.
But this is what I was thinking about yesterday. If you sneeze, what's the automatic response?
Most people do say, bless you.
God bless you.
Yes.
Whether they're Christian or not Christian, whether we're believers or non-believers, it just the automatic. Is there any other response to a sneeze? I can't think of any other response.
I hear Gesundheit, too.
Which means the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
Gesundheit.
In German, I guess.
Yeah.
Or is it Gesundheit? Yeah, I think
Gesundheit.
Never.
God bless you? Yeah, I think that. Probably.
I hear mostly that, God bless you or bless you.
Yeah.
Everyone does it.
Everybody does it. Everybody does it. If you're in another room and somebody sneezes, you hear a shout, God bless you. So, anyway, it's interesting. I was just thinking about that yesterday and how that's that just kind of comes natural to us.
I'm sure that makes some people very angry.
I don't know because it's just a normal, natural thing that everybody seems to do.
Which just goes back to what you say. And I guess at this time, we've forgotten. This used to all be natural. All natural.
Yeah, sure.
Now you almost have to, okay, what company do we think alike? Are we not alike? Do I have to look at you that we are alike? Do I have to wonder if you're going to hurt me? It's all these things now that never used to be.
It's crazy. And we'll come to our senses someday, somehow or another, with the help of God's
grace.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But, I mean, good always wins, you know.
Yes, as long as we know.
We may suffer in the process, and that's the realism of it all. If there's not a change, if we don't collectively change as a people, and that means a change means a return to God. That means the very thing, repent, convert, you know, repent of your sins.
Now, after what we've just said, that makes so much sense. You know, how we do a disservice not to preach sacrifice, hard, you know, not being easy, because I think that's what the world wants you to know. Oh, it's easy. You know, don't think about this. Be happy. And it's not always that way.
Well, it's not that way. And the reality is, and sometimes I caution, I ask myself, you know, do I dwell too much on our sinfulness, but no, because we are sinners.
Yes.
And to humbly recognize, acknowledge that, and we do that every time we begin Mass. The first thing we do is we acknowledge that we're sinners. Mm-hmm. We ask the Lord to have mercy on us. And even before we receive Holy Communion, we acknowledge that we're not worthy to receive Jesus under our roof, but say only the word, my soul will be healed. The fact is, if the scripture says that the just man sins seven times a day, and Peter said, Lord, how many times a day should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus says, no, not seven times, 70 times, because we're in this battle, and we have a natural inclination to be self-centered, to be, you know, to pride. It's a natural inclination, and so we're constantly in battle first and foremost against ourselves, but also a world that is, as I repeat so often, been breeding narcissism, which is a sickness. It's a sickness, and you know, it's not gonna, if we don't make the change, then we're gonna pay the consequences, and the innocent will suffer it, but good will prevail, because people, as I said, we will hit rock bottom, as has happened through the whole of history. And so it's a very dangerous thing when we're not connected to history. We forget from where we've come, mm-hmm. so we know what we must do, who we are, so we can ensure for our progeny, the further generations, some sense of civility and order in a society that is really spinning out of control. So anyway, we'll take a break, and we shall be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222. And we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
We are the students of St. Stan's LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560. This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyal.
Another venerable sanctuary of positive male development has caved to the forces that seek to deny God's order of sexual complementarity. Boy Scouting is now just Scouting, as it has become mandatory for Boy Scouting to include girls and female Scout leaders. The same coup, however, has not befallen Girl Scouting, as they proudly reaffirm their mission to serve girls only. It is just another repeat of the Garden of Eden. Like Eve and the serpent, womanhood has fallen for another bad line. For men to develop into authentic men, capable of loving, protecting, cherishing, and serving womanhood, separateness is needed. Boys and men need venues in which males learn from other males how to be real men. Invading domains of proper male development neither serves or complements womanhood. It says that maleness is the standard, and unless women are wherever a man is at all times and in all things, womanhood has no intrinsic value of its own. It is also saying that the guys have put together a more desirable product than the girls. Why doesn't Girl Scouting suffice for the girls? The rules and standards do in fact change whenever girls are inserted into venues designed exclusively for male development. In the end, it is womanhood that is denied that authentic, fully developed male that God intended for her from the beginning.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So today is the feast of St. Justin the Martyr. He was a philosopher. He was a martyr. I just said he was a martyr, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was born of pagan parents and in Samaria. And this is the back, you're going back to the second century, like 1,900 years ago. And after following his conversion to the faith, he wrote many works in defense of religion. A lot of it was destroyed, but we have his apology and the dialogue with Trifo. He also opened up a school in Rome in which public debates were held, but he was martyred along with several other companions, Christians, during the reign of Marcus Aurelius around the year 165. But he wrote, you know, since we're also coming close to the Feast of Corpus Christi, this is something he wrote. You get one of these days we'll have to do this again. Maybe we'll do it before the feast day. But you go back and you listen to the writings of the early fathers of the church with regards to the Eucharist, and it's really, this is something the church has always believed. You know, that's why it's a tragedy, it's a scandal that today 2/3 of Catholics don't believe or don't know that Jesus really is present in the Holy Eucharist, which is, you know, we're going to, priests will be held accountable for that, you know, if we're not preaching that, teaching, inculcating this dogma that is so central to our faith. But St. Justin, martyr, and just you think about it, this was written 1900 years ago. He said, "This food we call Eucharist, of which no one is allowed to partake except one who believes that the things we teach are true and has received the washing of forgiveness of sins for rebirth and who lives as Christ taught us. For we do not receive these things as common bread or common drink, but as Jesus Christ, our Savior, who became incarnate by God's word and took flesh and blood for our salvation. The food consecrated by the word of prayer, from which our flesh and blood are nourished and renewed, is the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus." So, you know, that's, you're going back, I mean, this wasn't questioned, this was believed in the, through the whole history of the church, until the, or anybody who doesn't believe that what would you call it, not accept this would be a heresy, right? Because, so when you had the Reformation, you got many of the denominational churches that don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. But we'll talk more about this perhaps as we get later into Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. because the feast day of Corpus Christi is coming up. So this is a very interesting time of year. We finished, we had the Feast of Pentecost a week ago, right? That ended the Easter season, rather. And then there's these other feasts, the Feast of the Holy Trinity we had Sunday, and then this coming Sunday, the Feast of Corpus Christi. And then after that, although we're in ordinary time now, we'll be wearing green every Sunday then from now until, well, 2 weeks until Advent, right? So, in any case, this is I just found this interesting. This is the account of the martyrdom of St. Justin. The saints were seized and brought before the prefect of Rome, whose name was Rusticus. As they stood before the judgment seat, Rusticus, the prefect, said to Justin, "Above all, have faith in the gods and obey the emperors." Justin said, "We cannot be accused or condemned for obeying the commands of our Savior Jesus Christ." Rusticus said, "What system of teaching do you profess?" And Justin said, "I have tried to learn about every system, but I have accepted the true doctrines of the Christians, though these are not approved by those who are held fast by error." The prefect said, "Are those doctrines approved by you, wretch that you are?" And Justin said, "Yes, for I follow them with their correct teaching." The prefect said then, "What sort of teaching is that?" And Justin said, "Worship the God of the Christians. We hold him to be, from the beginning, the one creator and maker of the whole creation, of things seen and things unseen. We worship also the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was foretold by the prophets as a future herald of salvation for the human race and the teacher of distinguished disciples. For myself, since I am a human being, I consider that what I say is insignificant in comparison with his infinite Godhead. I acknowledge the existence of a prophetic power, for the one I have just spoken of as the Son of God was the subject of prophecy. I know that the prophets were inspired from above when they spoke of his coming among men." So the prefect said, "You are a Christian then?" And Justin said, "Yes, I am a Christian." The prefect said to Justin, "You are called a learned man and think you know what is true teaching. Listen, if you were scourged and beheaded, are you convinced that you would go to heaven?" To which Justin replied, "I hope that I shall enter God's house if I suffer in that way, for I know that God's favor is stored up until the end of the whole world for all who have lived good lives." The prefect said, "Do you have an idea that you will go up to heaven to receive some suitable rewards?" And Justin said, "It is not an idea that I have. It is something I know well and hold to be most certain." The prefect said, "Now let us come to the point at issue, which is necessary and urgent. Gather round then, and with one accord, offer sacrifice to the gods." Justin said, "No one who is right thinking stoops to true worship." He says, "No one who is right thinking stoops from true worship to false worship." So the prefect said, "If you do not do as you are commanded, you will be tortured without mercy." And Justin said, "We hope to suffer torment for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so be saved. For this will bring us salvation and confidence as we stand before the more terrible and universal judgment seat of our Lord and Savior." In the same way, the other martyrs also said, "Do what you will. We are Christians. We do not offer sacrifice to idols." The prefect pronounced sentence saying, "Let those who have refused to sacrifice to the gods and to obey the command of the emperor be scourged and led away to suffer capital punishment according to the ruling of the laws." Glorifying God, the holy martyrs went out to the accustomed place. They were beheaded and so fulfilled their witness of martyrdom in confessing their faith in their Savior. It's a very powerful reading, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you think about it in the context of the times we're living in, you know, it's that government seems to want to take the place of God, and more we're being, you know,
fooled.
Well, fooled and asked to bow down before the power of government, which increasingly seems to have little regard for God or God's law, no matter how often they may use or invoke the name God. In practice, it doesn't seem to be the case. And then there's all kinds of other idolatries that are, taking hold of our lives. This is really a time when we have to be woke as Christians, as Catholics, and be true to God and to be grateful for our ancestors who suffered martyrdom in order that we would be here today, that we would enjoy the faith, that we would live the faith, live the discipline of the faith, not only for our salvation and sanctification, but that of our each other and our descendants. So, all right, with that, we come to an end. And we will be back. I pray Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
to say